The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Samech Gimel. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Victor Gindi, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, for continued Hatzlacha in all his endeavors, continued success, Bri'ut, health, happiness, and all good things. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Elul Nishmat of Avraham ben Esther, who Hashem Tanihana began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Fuash Shalema Yosef ben Sarah, Hamim ben Aden, Sarah bat Rahel, Enna Refana Lahim, Betok Shar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Samech Bet Amud Bet, and we are four lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues to tell some episodes about the Hachamim that used to go and study Torah. Rabbi Akiba, Raya Deben Kalba Sabua Ava. Rabbi Akiva was the shepherd of Ben Kalba Sabua. That was one of the rich men of Yerushalayim. The reason why they called him Kalba Sabua is anybody that entered his house hungry, like a dog, like a Kalba, left his house Sabua, left his house satiated. He was a very wealthy man. Rabbi Akiva worked for him. So it says, Ava Hazite Berate, the daughter of Kalba Sabua, they called her Rahel. She saw qualities in Rabbi Akiva, davat saniya umaale, which means he had a certain tsniut about himself, a certain modesty, ma'aleh, he had a certain refinement of character. Tosfot comes along and says, veha da'amar be'elu ovrim, that which you learn in Masechet Pesachim, amar Rabbi Akiva, kishayiti ama'ares, hayiti omer, mi yiten li tamid hacham, ve'anashekhenu kahamor. When he was Amaz, Rabbi Akiva says, just find me a Tamir Hakam, I'll bite him like a donkey bites. And they say a donkey bites the bone. Meaning that's the animosity that Rabbi Akiva had. Here Gemara's mashma that he was, could be taught. Mashma de lava ma'ale. It sounds like he wasn't so refined. So he can remember that, I'm not mishum sheyasun et Tamidi Hakamim. It wasn't because he hated Tamidi Hakamim. Ela mishum sheyasavur shemitgaim ala me'ares mepene toratan. He felt that the rabbis were arrogant over the Amaharis because of their Torah, v'ayu tamidei achrim sonim otam, and therefore that's why they were hated. V'gam mishum shlom menichim otam nigam b'hem, or because they didn't let the people touch them because of the law of the Amaharis and midrash the pirushim. So Rabbi Akiva thought, oh, they think they're so gava, they won't even let us touch them. If we touch them, we're considered tameh. Ava mekom akom shomer mitzvot haya. I mean, he was a Shemin Mitzvot, he was not religious. He just felt that there was Ge'ut in the Rabbanut, and that's why he says, I don't like it. But he himself had the Midot. Amra Le, so she tells Rabbi Akiva, I mekadeshan alach, if I get married to you, Kedushin, Azalt Lebe Rav, will you go study in Yeshiva? Amar La In. Yes, I will, I accept. So she got married to Bitsin'ah, because her father would never have accepted such a shidduch. And she sent him to the yeshiva. Shama Abu, the father heard about the marriage. Afka mebete. Kicked her out of the house, sent her out of the house. Adra hana'a minikhseh. And he banished her from having any pleasure from the estate, from the will, from the Yerusha, from his assets. Azil yativ teresa reshenin beberat. So again, he sat like the custom, 12 years in the yeshiva. Kiata, when he came, aiti ba'ade teresa alfe talmidei. He brought back with him 12,000 students. Shama'e la'u sabai. He heard an old man, the ka'amar la, that was talking to his wife. The old man tells the Biakiva's wife, ad kama kam medabart al menut hayim. Which means, how long are you going to be treated like a living widow? Which means, your husband's alive, but you're a widow. How long are you going to be noheg this situation?
Amrale, so she tells the old man, Ilididin Sayyid, if he would listen to me, my husband, Yatif Tresashere Aharini, I would give him another 12 years to go study. Amar Brishut Ka'avidna. So he said, oh, I just got the Rishut, I just got permission for another 12 years. Hadar Azil Yatif Tresare Shane Aharini Beberab. So he went, he took another 12 years. He asked Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz on this Gemara, you got permission already. So go home and say hello to your wife. Which means you're there already. So just go in and say hello. You know, just check in. And then she's not going to retract. Yeah. So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says a very sharp word. He says, 12 plus 12 is not 24. What he meant to say is that you cannot compare 24 years straight learning Torah without interruption, or 12 years and 12 years. Which is that little interruption already would be hafsaka. Which is, in order to succeed in Torah, it has to be a continuity, there has to be a certain momentum. And he gives the famous mashal of, you know, someone is trying to boil water. So you put the water on the fire, and it's about to boil, you take it off. And you put it back, and you take it off. Unless it stays on the fire for a certain amount of time, it's never going to reach a boiling point. So the same thing in Torah. In order to succeed in Torah, it has to be Torah beli hefsek. It has to be a constant growth. And they bring a proof from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, after the Akedah Yitzhak, it says he came back from the Akedah alone. So they say, where was Yitzhak? So it says, Yitzhak, he sent them off to Yeshivat Shem Va'Eved. So you ask a question. He just passed the hardest test of his life, Yitzhak Avinu. Let him go home first, let him take a little vacation, let him relax, let him collect himself, make a seudat todah. What, all of a sudden, he won't even come home. The explanation, Avraham understood what the understanding is, not to have a hifsik. He just came from Akedah Yitzhak, Yitzhak Abinu. The momentum is very strong, he's on a very spiritual high. What do you want, just stop it now, go home and rest for 2 days? He says, no, let's take advantage of the momentum over here. So right away he sends him to Yeshivat Shem Va'Eved in order that he can continue to grow. So if Chaim Shmuel Levitz writes, he says, that's why he don't want to go home to his house. Once he goes home to his house, even though I can go the next morning back to the yeshiva, it's not the same. The 12 plus 12 is not 24, which means it has to be ratzuf. Kiata, when he came back after the second 12 years, Haiti Bade came with him. 24,000 students. So his wife heard. So she came to greet him. Amnula, so they tell her, the neighbors told her, she'ili mane levush, go borrow some nice clothes, vixiyat, cover yourself, which means she was a poor lady. She didn't have anything nice to wear. You didn't see your husband in 24 years, go borrow from the neighbors nice fancy clothes so you can greet your husband. Amra lehu, so she says to them, yodeya tzaddik nefesh behemto. It's okay, the tzaddik knows nefesh bimto, literally the soul of his animal, but over here means he knows his wife, but he knows that I don't have any money, and he doesn't expect me to have any extra, whatever it is, and therefore he'll recognize me the way I am, he'll accept me the way I am. Kimatya legabe, so when she came in front of him, nafla al apa, so she bowed in front of Rabbi Akiva, she fell to the floor. So she started to kiss the feet of Rabbi Akiva. So the servants of Rabbi Akiva started to push her away. And some ladies going, bowing in front of the rabbi. They tried, no, get out, move away. So she says, Shavkuha, leave her alone. Sheli v'shelachem shelahi. Which means my Torah and your Torah is her Torah, which is all the Torah that we have over here. It's not credit. Leave her alone. Shama Abu de Atak Abrar Abba Lemata. So Kadma Sabua heard. He didn't know who Rabbi Akiva. He didn't know it was his son-in-law. He heard a great rabbi came to the town. Amar Izil Legabe. Let me go see the great rabbi. Efshar de Mefar Nidrai. I said, maybe, you know what, maybe he'll be able to make Afarad, which I guess he regretted. Yeah, he saw his daughter doesn't have any parnasa. So he said, you know, maybe this rabbi can figure out a way to nullify my vow that I made. At, So he came in front of Rabbi Akiva. Amar le, adarta de gabra rabba min adart. Did you make the neder thinking that your son will become gabra rabba? Which means when you made the neder, your neder was because you didn't think anything was going to come of your son-in-law. So then he said, you know what? I'm not giving you any neder. But if you would have known that your son-in-law would become gabra rabba, would you have made the neder? Even if he would have known one perek, I wouldn't have made the neder. Even if he knew one halakha, I wouldn't have made the neder. Amar le, anahu. He said, I'm your son-in-law. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Nafal ala peh v'nashke al kar'ay. So the Kabbas Samoa fell to the feet of Rabbi Akiva, and he kissed him on his feet. V'yayiv le palgam amuna. And he gave him half his estate. He gave him half the money. Barted Rabbi Akiva, the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, avda le ben Azai hache. She did the same thing when she married Ben Azai, which means she followed exactly the way of her mother. She let him go study for 24 years in the yeshiva. So the Gemara says, "V'ainu da'am inch." This is what the people say: "Rechila batar rechila azla," which means the small sheep follows the mother sheep, which means the children follow their parents. That's the way she was brought up. She was brought up in a house where the mother's Mosedet Nefesh for Torah, let the husband go study for years at a time. So when she got married to Ben Azai, she learned it from her mother. She did the same, this is the same thing. The way of the mother, that's the same way that the daughter adopts. Rav Yosef, Pered Rava, Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, Shadre Abuhi, his father sent him Lebe Rav to the yeshiva to commit Rav Yosef. So you have one Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, studying in front of Rav Yosef. Paskule Shichene. So they gave him, he was married, they told him, okay, go 6 years. Kiyavat Latshene, after 3 years, Mata Ma'ale Yomad Chippure. So he shows up Erev Kippur. Amar, so Rava tells him, Izil, he said, Rabbi Yosef says, Izil v'azinu l'enshebeti, let me go visit my wife, my family. Shama Abuhi, so Rava heard, Shakal mana, he took his weapons, v'nafag l'apeh, meaning he's going to fight him now. What are you doing coming over here? Supposed to be in yeshiva for 6 years. What are you coming over here? Amar leh. Some change the Gersha. We'll read the Gersha of the Ein Yaakov that changes it. Zugatcha niskeret. Why, you remembered your wife? Which means your pair, meaning you left the yeshiva to come to be with your wife? Which means you have a ta'va for your wife? Ika da'amri amali yodatcha niskeret. Why, you remembered your dove? Because the dove is an analogy to marriage. Yonati, tamati. So therefore, he's telling you, what do you mean, you came home for ta'va? Itrud. So they got involved in this mahloket. Lo mar ifsik, velo mar ifsik. Neither of them had time to eat seudat mafseket, which means the seudat before the kippur. They were fighting on this subject over here. They got so caught up in the mahloket that they went into the fast without eating. Now, it should be noted, as was pointed out, from the fact that Yassin of Yosef came home on Erev Kippur, Yassin didn't come home for Ta'va. Because he could not have Tashmish even. But still, Rava held. You came home, that looks like you're coming home because the Ta'va got to you. You're supposed to be learning Torah. And therefore, he had claims against him. But she says, Lo mor ifsik. Let's go to the ones before that first. Shekal mana kli zayid. He took out his weapons. Ki'idu ba'le lahayim. He's coming to fight. Itrud. I got involved in the mahloket. Lo mor ifsak ve lo mor ifsak. Lo aklu seudat yom kippurim shemafsikim ba'achila l'tanot. Seuda haronah shel erev tesha'a be'av yom kippurim kari seudat mafsiket. Right? Shemafsikim ba. Okay, comes the next Mishnah. Hamoredet al ba'ala. Okay, you have a lady that's a moredet. Moredet, she's rebellious. Pohatin la mechtubata shiv'ad nalim b'shabbat. So you start to subtract from our ketubah 7 dinarin a week. Wow. Which means 1 dinar per day. As long as she stays a moredet, every week her ketubah becomes subtracted or diminished by 7 dinarim. Rabbi Yehuda Amir, Shiva'at Rapi'ikin. Okay, different type of coin. At matayu pochet, how long does he continue to diminish? Ad keneged ketubata. The entire price of the ketubata goes down to zero. Which means, as we learned earlier, not only ketubah, but even tosifet ketubah. Which means even the additional amount that he offers up, all that is diminished from the ketubah. So it says that she ad kedei ketubata ve'ahar kach noten laget. After the ketubah is on zero, gives her a divorce ve'yotza b'lo ketubah. Aval enu mashel lefsok al nechassim shenafshu la neflu la bebet abiyah la fsida b'mina. Which means the stuff that's her Yerusha, that fell to her, which means, let's say, her grandfather gave her assets for herself, that's hers. She can't diminish from her stuff. Good. Rabbi Yosef omer le'olam u'pohet ve'olech ad she... You keep on going. You pochet ve'olech, even if it's down to zero, you keep on counting the seven a week. Why? Ad she'im tepol la yirusha memakom acher gova emena. Which means, in the event that, let's say, she inherits more money, and that money belongs to the husband, so therefore he has credit. So he keeps on just subtracting. Correct. Even that money that's coming to from somewhere else. Right, says it. So something got that word odd. Makes sense to take out that word odd. So read the Biosum and Leolam who pochet vodek she'im tipola. Yerusha makom acher gova emena. The ketubah is down to nothing. But, she's going to get more stuff, so that we can keep on subtracting. I don't have to give her a get right away. Keep on going, and if she gets it. Right. Vechen hamored al ishto. They have another case now. He rebels against her. Now we'll see exactly what's considered rebellious. He rebels against her. Mosifim al ketubata shloshan dinarim b'shabbat. So it is the opposite. They add to her ketubah three dinarim. The Gemara is going to say, why when you take away, seven. When you only add three. Rabbi Yehuda Amir, shloshat ha-pe'ikin. That's not the three dinarim. It's three ha-pe'ikin. It's a different type of coin. So now the Gemara begins. Moredet mimai. Says she's moredet, she's rebellious. So what is she being rebellious? What is exactly she doing to be rebellious? Ravuna amar mitashmish amita, meaning she's refraining her husband from relations. Rabbi Yosef ben Hanina amar mimelacha, she's refraining to do melacha. Now, what does this mean of it? She's refraining to do work. So the Mefarshim explain over here like this. Ravuna holds like this. A lady that, let's say, refrains from doing work for her husband is not considered a moredet. Why? Because she doesn't have to give the husband work. Because she can come along and say, I don't want mizonot, and therefore my work belongs to myself. So therefore, by not giving him his work, he just won't give mizonot, and therefore that's not considered a moredet. That's an agreement that they have. But what? She cannot refrain from him to tashmish. So that's why Rav Huna learns the moredet is tashmish. Oh, so what's the other shita? Rabbi Yosef ibn Hanina, he says like this, that really the melacha that we're talking about over here is not necessarily the ma'asi adeah, but it's the surfaces that we learned in the previous Mishnah that she has to do the different chores, make the bed, put her, regardless of anything. She has certain obligations that she has to do for the husband. So when she comes along and says, I'm not doing those obligations, so that's considered moderet hana'ah, so already you start chipping away from the ketubah. So it's a ma'aloga. Is it tashmish amita, or is it considered melacha? So comes the Gemara and says, moredet b'mai, ravuna amar, mitashmish amita, rabbi yosef ibn hanina amar b'melacha. Tenan, we learned in our Mishnah. Vechen hamored al ishto. Well, we can bring a proof from our Mishnah because we gave a case in our Mishnah the opposite, where he is rebellious to her. Now, bishlam alavadman mitashmish lechayeh. Quote the one that says tashmish. That means he refrained, just like she's refraining him from tashmish. He can be mored and not give her tashmish. Elamadman melacha. But according to the one that's learning melacha, that she's not doing the chores or not doing the work. Mi mishubad la. Is he obligated to do work that he's moredet? So the Gemara says, "In beomer eni zan ve'eni mefarnes," which means in a case where he comes along and tells the wife, "I'm not giving you mizonot, I'm not giving you any panasa," which means the husband is obligated to give his wife a certain panasa. He cannot come along and just leave her without anything. So which means that she says, "Be'omer eni zan dainu ta'at melacha." He's getting ma'asiyah deha, and they say, "I'm not giving you the mezonot." So in that case over there, he's not able to say such a thing. So Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav, be'omer eni zan ve'eni mufanes." The guy comes, "I'm not giving you any money." But she needs panasa, even if she has ma'asiyah deha. But the husband has to make sure that she has enough food to eat. And the law is, Rav taught that if a man comes along to his wife and says, I'm not giving you any support, yotzivi yitid ketubah. Immediately she can get a divorce and she gets a ketubah. Here we're saying over here, that what? You start the moredet, you add every week three more dinarim to the ketubah. What do you mean? How are you adding three more dinarim every week? Already it should be an immediate divorce if he's not willing to give her support. Gemara says, "Velav le'amluche bebae." The Gemara says, "Don't you have to negotiate a little? Convince her that she's velav le'amluche bebae. Shema yazor bo." Which is, you try to go to the husband. You don't get a divorce immediately. You go to the husband. Listen, give other mizonot, all that. Ubetog zman she'aru nimnachim bo. The interim when you're trying to reconcile this machloket, umazrin alav she'azor bo musifin al ketubah. Bottom line, it takes 3 weeks to make the shalom bayit over here. But bottom line, she's going to get nine dinarim extra in a ketubah. So you're right. It's not an immediate divorce. We agree that. But there's a time of reconciliation. So in the time of reconciliation, so therefore knows interim. But you're right, if they can't reconcile in the Kanami, then they're ready to get divorced right away. So comes the Gemara and continues. Gemara says like this. Metiva, we have a question. Ahatli, all these cases are similar. Ahatli. All these cases have one law. What are the laws? Arusa. That's a lady that's engaged. And she's mima'ena. She doesn't want to get married. So she's moredit. I'm not getting married. Unsu'a. Or a lady that's married, she's moredit. How? She doesn't want to be with her husband. Va'afilu nida. Or you have a nida that's acting in a rebellious way. Va'afilu chola. Or a sick, the lady's sick. She's rebellious. Va'afilu shumidat yabab. Or a lady that's awaiting to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum, right, with her brother-in-law. She's also abstaining to make the yibum. So all these ladies have a common status. They're considered what? Moredit. So the Gemara go, they skip all the parentheses over here. You gotta go all the way to the bottom line. According to the opinion that wants to say that moredet is a case of tashmish, which she's refraining from tashmish, hainu diktani chola, which means we can understand chola, because even a sick lady with talk, she's still able to have tashmish. And therefore, chola, potentially she can have tashmish, and she's telling the husband, I'm not having tashmish. Oh, so now we know that's one of the cases. Then you're going to ask me a question. I would be at nida. If the case about tashmish, a nida is saying that you're not going to have tashmish, I'm not going to have tashmish. So that she answers this question. Even though she's not allowed to have tashmish, but at least the husband knows he has pat misleis bread in his basket. He knows that once she becomes non-nida, she's getting permissible. Once already she comes along and says, I'm not having tashmish, even though she's nida, that's considered already a moredet. Look at Nashi. Nashi says, look at Nashi. Look at Nashi. Haki garasina pishtama lamad bar mitashmish shapir ela madam shu melaka khola bat melakai pishtama lamad bar mitashmish shapir ve im shu nida de la bat tashmishi ela do mimish shto pat mesalo. It's a brother's basket. So therefore the Gemara say like this: if you're learning tashmish, all these cases are tashmish cases. Arusa, I'm not getting married, no tashmish. Nisua, no tashmish. Khola, no tashmish. Nida, no tashmish, meaning you don't have bread in your basket anymore. No, it almost makes sense. But the Gemara says, which means if you're saying that the cases where she's I'm not giving you my ma'asei adai, I'm not going to give you my work, I'm not going to serve you, let's say, you can't blame a sick lady. That's considered rebellious. She's sick. How do you expect the sick lady to serve her husband? It's not her fault. She's sick. Which means she might be up to tashmish, but to do all these melachot, what do you want from her? So comes the Gemara and says, "Ela mitashmish kol alma lo peligi davya moredet." We're revamping the machloket. When it comes to a lady that's abstaining from tashmish, and saying, "I'm not going to have tashmish," everybody holds that's a classical case of moredet. And therefore, what? Therefore, even a sick lady can be considered a moredet. That braita that we just learned is a tashmish braita. Now all that bride is talking about what? She's refraining from tashmish, even the sick lady. The machloket is, do you say that she's a moredet even if she abstains from melacha? Mor sabah memelacha lo havya moredet, which means Rav Huna says that when she refrains from doing melacha, that's not considered a moredet. And the logic of Rav Huna, we're going to explain, is because she's able to hold a ma'aseh yadayim. She's able to say, listen, I'm not doing work for you, don't feed me. Therefore, I don't have to give you my ma'aseh yadayim. So therefore, that was Rav Huna Shita, if you remember earlier. We learned earlier Rav Huna Shita was she could say any nizonet ve'eni osa. So therefore, and again, he has to say also that those are the items of the seven melachot that's not considered a that's not considered a rebellion over there. Which means we're not going to knock down her ketubah, you know, seven a week because of those chores over there. Ma'aseh Adayim is significant. Ma'aseh Adayim should come along and say, listen, I want my Ma'aseh Adayim, don't feed me. Oh, however, Umbor Sabah, Rabbi Yosef Hanina holds, Memelacha Nami Avia Moredi. Now the logic of Rabbi Yosef Hanina is that either because he holds that she cannot say, I'm not giving you my ma'aseh adayim. Either he holds like shows like the shtakish that we learned above, that holds that what? That the ma'aseh adayim is a takana to the husband, which means it's his ma'aseh adayim. She cannot come along and say, I'm not giving you the ma'aseh adayim. Then when she comes along and says, I'm not giving it to you, she's considered a moredet. Or he learns like we learned above, where she's refraining from the chores, and he holds that the chores are enough to cause it to be a moredet. Gemara continues, Gufa. We learned in the Mishnah. Hamoredet al ba'ala, so a lady that is rebellious al ba'ala on her husband, bohatin la miktubata shiv'ad dinarim b'shabbat. So long as she remains in her mirida, they continuously deduct from her ketubah 7 dinarim a week. Rabbi Yehuda omer shiv'at rapa'ikin. He has a different denomination, 7 tarpikin a week. Rabotenu hazru venivnu, but then the rabbis came along and they reanalyzed the halakha, and they got together and they convened and they said that when a lady is moredet, she yihyu machrizin aleha arba shabbatot zu ahar zu. Well, first of all, they make an announcement on her. They have to announce, like the Gemara is going to say, in the synagogues, in the Bet Midrash, for 4 consecutive weeks, public announcement, this lady over here is moredet against her husband. Vishulchin la betin. And betin sends her a summons. Heve yodat. You have to know. She'afilu ketubatech me'amaneh. Even if your ketubah is 100 maneh, hevsad. Which means you're going to lose it in one shot. The rabbis changed the system. Instead of going 7 dinarim a week, they changed it. It's a 4-week process. They announced for 4 weeks in the shul, she's a moredet, and if you don't change your ways, you're going to lose your ketubah. Even if it's 100 in one shot, the whole thing's going to be taken away from you. So the Gemara says, Achat li arusa v'nisua afilu nida afilu chola. And the law applies when we talk about the moredet, whether it's arusa, that's moredet against her arus, or she's married, even if she's nida, even if she's sick, even if she's awaiting to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum. Amar le Rabbi Chaya bar Yosef de Shmuel. So the Gemara says, nida bat tashmishi? Question that we learned earlier, that if you tell me that the moredet over here is tashmishi, and everybody said that everybody agrees that a moredet is a case where she is refraining from tashmish. So how could you say a nida could be a moredet? A nida anyway cannot have tashmish. So the Gemara says, Amar lei. So he told him back, Ena dome mi sheyesh lo pat besalo, mi sheein lo pat besalo. So that's the bread in the basket, Sevara. Which means, even though you're right, when she's nida, there's no tashmish, but at least he knows that he has something coming to him when she's permissible. When she's osir, so that already, he doesn't even have this bread in his basket, so to speak, something to look forward to. So that's considered also a moredet. If you look at the second line of Rashi, Hazru v'nimnu, shelo yishu ota lefachot me'at me'at. You don't gradually minimize a ketubah 7 dinarim at a time. Ela yafsidu kol ketubata le'achar arbas shabbatot shlachraza. You announce 4 weeks in a row that she's a moredet, and then already you just take away the ketubah. Amar mi barhamah, Which means this announcement you make, it's not in the marketplace, it's not in the shuk, it's done in the batiknus b'metemidreshot. Amarava daika nameh. We have a diuk from the statement diktani arba shabbatot zo shabbatot zo harzo shma mina, which means in fact it says shabbatot. So where's everybody on Shabbat? They're on the marketplace. They're in Bete Midrash or Bete Knesset. So you see the announcement is done in the Bet Knesset. So Rashi says, Daikan Amed Diktani Arbash Shabbatot Yamim She'enam She'melacha V'akol Mitzuyin Bete Knesiyot Bete Midrashot Gebera Seish Ma'amina Amar Rabbi Barhamma. Rabbi Hamma gives another law regarding this subject. Pa'amim or pa'amayim sholchim da mibeddin, which means beddin sends her a warning in this process twice. She gets two warnings in the process. Ahat kodem achraza, one warning before the first announcement. Ve'ahat lachar achraza, one after the fourth time that she remains rebellious. So they send her a second achraza to say that that's it, she's going to lose her kituvah if she doesn't straighten up. Tarash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda halacha krabotenu. So Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda said halacha indeed follows rabotenu, meaning not like our Mishnah that said that it's a gradual reduction of 7 dinarim a week, and it's going to follow rabotenu that after 4 achrazot already they take the ketubah away from her in one shot. Halacha krabotenu. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rava, Rava says, Hai burcha. Now burcha is another way of saying davar she'enu hagun. This halakha of rabotenu is not correct. We don't accept such a halakha. The Gemara is going to tell us why should it be a burcha? Why shouldn't we accept it? So the Gemara says the following. Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman tells Rava, "My burchita. Why is the halakha not accepted? Ana amirtan yihale. I said this halakha in front of Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda. Umishemeh de gavra Rava amirtan yihale. And I said the halakha in front of a great rabbi. Umanu Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina. So therefore, what is it? It's a burcha. I mean, this halakha that I said is substantiated by the great hachamim. They agreed to it. Ve'ihu keman savar. So what does Rava hold like? When Rava comes along and says the halakha of Rabotenu was not accepted, that she loses the ketubah in one shot, who is he going like that? She says, Rava, damar burcha hi keman savar. Who's he going like? So Gemara says, ki ha de itmar Rava amar Rav Sheshat. Oh, so you had a statement from Rav Sheshat that said, halakha nimlachin ba. The halakha says nimlachin ba. What is nimlachin ba? Meaning you try to reconcile. Rashi, nimlachin ba, mashinit gita. You delay the get. Umahazirin alea shetazor ba, betokach pohatin mechtubata shephadarin meshabbat. Which means you don't want to go very quickly for Shabbatot, which loses the whole thing. Rav Sheshat taught that if there's a chance to speak reconcile. It out with her and reconcile with her, we'd rather reconcile. Therefore, you do a slow process. Oh, it's 7 a week. And therefore, it gives her more time to eventually make the peace. We don't go just to one shot. So Gemara says, that's the way Rava had in the name of Rav Sheshat. However, Ravuna bar Yehuda amar Rav Sheshat. Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, had a different interpretation from Rav Sheshat. He said, halakha en nimlachin ba. That you don't try to reconcile that slow. Ella, you give her 4 weeks, and therefore you give her an immediate absolving of the ketubah. So we have a machloket, actually, what Rav Sheshat said. So Rava was basing his view on his interpretation of what he heard Rav Sheshat said, that you do reconciliation. Whereas the other rabbi said, no, we heard from Rav Sheshat, that's what they were posek like. Now the Gemara says, Hech dam ya moredet. Okay, what's considered a case of moredet? Okay, now Rashi says dechofin ota temashin gita upohatin ketubata. All these cases that we're talking about till now, that you're reducing the ketubah by 17 dinarim. What's the case of moredet? Now Rashi doesn't mention, but it's also going to apply that since that chazak rabotenu, it means that the application of the 4 week warning period and then immediate loss of the ketubah. That's going to be the halakha. The halakha k'rabotenu. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amar amemor." So the case is like this: De amra
she comes along and says the following: Ba'ina le umitsa'arana le, which means I still want him, but I want to torture him a little. I want to give him some pain. Why? She got angry at him for something, whatever, some personal, whatever he did. But she's not saying it's over, but she just wants to, you know, cause him tzar. As she says, in that case over there, da'amna ba'ina le, she'esh ta'chufa al yedeh praitat ketubah. In such a case, there's room for, you know, for giving her time, she'll get over it. So you reduce the ketubah every week that she's a moredit, and then eventually she'll come around to senses. However, aval, amra ma'is alai. But if she comes along and says, right, which means she comes along to the extent she says, listen, lo hu velo ketubatu ba'ina. She says, I just want out. I don't want not him. I don't want, I'm not asking for the ketubah. The guy's ma'us to me. The man's repulsive to me. I cannot stay. So the Gemara says, in that case, no chayfinana. In that case, there's no reconciliation. You don't force a lady that's coming along and saying that her husband's ma'us. Then especially when she's, you know, she's forfeiting her ketubah, so you can't force her to stay with the husband. So that's the way that she understands that she lo chayfina lahashota, ela noten la get. You give her a get, it's mashma immediately. V'yotza belo ketubah, and then she goes out without a ketubah. So the Mefarshim explained over here that which Rashi said kofin ota the garsha. Which is you have to actually force him. Why? Because it's ma'us. You're never going to force a lady to stay with a man that she cannot stay with. That's the way. Right? It's not going to change. It seems it is what it is. Okay. Now, once she comes along, it just should be pointed out when she says that it's worth it to forget divorced, even if she doesn't get a ketubah. But let's say she comes along and says, "Listen, I can't stand the guy, and I want divorce," and she wants a ketubah. So in that case over there, we don't believe of a ta'anat ma'us. You know, every lady that wants out will always say, listen, you know, he's ma'us to me, he'll pay my ketubah. Then everybody, she just wants to get out for whatever, maybe she wants to get married to somebody else. So she'll come along and say, I'm saying if she says, he's ma'us to me and I want my ketubah. Oh. So that ta'ana, we're not going to believe. Because she's the only believer when she says he's ma'us, and it's so ma'us that I want out of here, I don't want the ketubah payment. Then already you let her get a divorce right away. But if she comes along and says, correct, if she comes along and says, listen, he's disgusting to me, but you know, I'll leave if you pay me the ketubah. So Mefashim say, hey, she saw somebody else. Sure, she saw somebody else because she just wants to get married to somebody else. Good. So there's a difference between ba'ina. I like him, but I just want him to say him, you know, for whatever reason. Then already you delay it to the extent, whatever we said. But if she says ma'us, then already the deen is divorced right away and no ketubah. Like she said, she forfeited her ketubah. Good. Now the Gemara says, Morzutra Amar Chayfinana. Morzutra comes along and says, which means, again, I mean, but Amla Ma'is Alai, if she said that the guy's ma'us to me, lo chayfinana. That she says lo chayfinana lehashota. You don't slow the process. Immediately you can give her a get. However, morzutra amar chayfinana. Morzutra says even in this case over here, you delay. You force a meaning to try to reconcile and to work it out. Okay, you don't just give them immediate divorce without a ketubah payment over there. Now, even though she's willing to get divorced without a ketubah, we say that maybe she's not mohel belev shalem when she says, I don't want the ketubah. So therefore you have to, you know, try to work it out over there. Okay? Because it could be she's, you know, they also, the Mefarshim explained that, could be she's meshakeret in that ta'ana.
Why?
When she's saying ma'usta. Because, whatever, she has a, even if she's telling the truth, maybe she's still reconcilable. That's the point. Which means now she's ma'us. He's ma'usta, but who doesn't mean for sure she's ma'usta the next day. Right?
She doesn't want to go through the...
Maybe she's in a bad mood.
Now yeah. The shul, you could see. She doesn't want to go through the embarrassment.
So go through the process, maybe. She wants to save herself from that. So in all those cases over there, that's the that's the order. Because let's just review what we're saying till now, just to get the clarity that she thought over here. So there's different cases. There's a case where she says, ba'ina aval mitzarana. That's a classic case of moredit. Go through the slow process. And she says, ma'us. And I don't want my ketubah, so machloket. Some say immediate divorce, no ketubah. Some say no, even in that case you have to go through the process. It's more zutra. The Gemara tells a story about Ovda. There was a case like that where the lady came along and said that she's, you know, the husband is ma'us alai.
What happened? Ve'achfa Murzutra. So Murzutra followed his shita, he was loyal to his opinion, and he reconciled, and it went slow, you know, he didn't force them to get divorced right away. And right. What ended up happening?
Right.
So the Gemara says, good thing happened out of it.
What happened?
Murzutra v'nafak mine Rabbi Hanina Misura. And the great rabbi came out of such a thing. Rabbi Hanina Misura came out of it. They reconciled, they made shalom, and they're having a big tzaddik. Now the Achamim tell us that, Hasu Shalom, if a person has tashmish, right. At a time where they're hating each other, the children will come out all bad. So therefore, obviously, there was made shalom was made. The proof of the pudding is that the child came out as a great, so it worked. So the Gemara says, Venahi. No proof from the results of this story that Morzutra is necessarily right. Hatam si'ata d'shmaya. But that was an exceptional case. No, it was an exceptional case that they ended up making the peace after she already said that he's ma'us. That wasn't necessarily a standard case. There's a special si'ata d'shmaya over here. Normally, you doesn't work out exactly. And therefore, normally you don't force. This case over here, so a special siyata d'shmaya over there, and therefore you cannot bring a proof.
Special
case. Exactly. Comes together and says another story. Story. Kalate de Rav Zvid. Imreda. Exactly. The daughter-in-law of Rav Zvid. Imreda. She became a moredet, and she came along and said the ta'ana of ma'us. Okay. She said that she says. Ve'amra ma'is alai. So now we got the case. Okay, she said that I can't live with the guy. The guy is despicable. So the Gemara says tefisa had shira. So she was tofes a mi'il, which is a coat. She said mi'il had shechnisa lo.
She brought it in with the marriage.
Bechtubata. Right. She brought into the marriage certain assets, nechson son barzel, and those assets, let's say, belong to the husband when she brought them in. And she comes along now and says, listen, I want out.
But I want my
and she went and she grabbed one of the coats. She took it out. She's holding it. I'm out. I said, I'm ma'us alai. So it says, Yativ amemor umor zutra v'rav ashe. So three rabbis got together. V'yativ rav gamda gabai. Rav gamda was the gadol. He sat amongst them. Yatve v'kamre. They sat and they concluded and they said, Marda. Hey, listen, this lady over here is a moredet. Hifsida bela'otea. Hifsida. Bilaotea kayamim. So they said like this. Hifsida bilaotea kayamim. Afilu begadeh shechnim salo benidunyata. Even the clothes that she brought in as an idunya into the marriage. Veshamum ala bechtubatane. You know, they added it to the ketubah. Vaadaina bilayot kayamim. And they're still around, which means they're still there. Like this coat over here was still around. Tafsid otam. Which means. She loses, she has no right. Once she's a moredet, what's the law of a moredet? She loses her ketubah.
And
what's the case of Moes? Ma'us, we said, she's really saying, I don't want the ketubah, I just want to get out of here. So not only did she get out, but any assets that she brought into the ketubah, right? The son barzel, she went to the ketubah, which is really the assets that she's bringing in. She brought it in. So now you say, maybe she could take it. She wants to take it back. She cannot take it back. It's forfeited. The husband doesn't have to compensate her for anything. The stuff that's there, she's holding on to it, doesn't matter. You lose those items over here. Hifsida, again, let's read the language good. Hifsida, what does she lose? Bila'otea kayamin. The clothes. Literally, bila'otea means the worn out clothes. Which is, even if they're worn out, they're still there, but as long as they're still there, that's already considered a forfeiture. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar lehu rav gamda mishum derav zevi. Gavra Rabba. So Gemara says like this. Rav Gamda tells the rabbis that over there. Mishum de Rav Zevid, who was also one of the rabbis that were there. Gavra Rabba is a great rabbi. Mahnefitude? What do you mean, mahnif him? You're like false flattering him, which means what? Just because Rav Zevid said she has to forfeit the clothes. So you all agree with him? Just because Rav Zevid said it? What are you doing? You're wrong. It's not halakha. Don't disagree to Rav Zevid because he's the gadol. Ve'amar Rav Kana mibaya ba'e Rava ve'lo pashit. This was actually a question by Rava. Does she get to keep the clothes or not? And it was not answered. And since it's not answered, what's the normal rule in the monetary law that's not answered? Hamotzi mechaveru ala v'raya. She's holding the coat. So since it's a question that was not solved, so therefore, yeah. Correct. Right, Kadas. But no, she was holding the coat. So therefore they said, you know what? She forfeits it. You're more in it. Give the coat to the husband. So the Gemara says, What are you talking about over there? There was a question that I've had, and I didn't answer the question. So the law is what? So how could you say to take away the garment? So comes Gemara and says a little different version of the same story. Gemara says Ika de Amri. The rabbi said, Marda lo efsida bilaot yakayamin. It's the exact opposite. That she doesn't lose her bilot, she doesn't lose her nechseh son barzel. Amar lehu Rav Gamda, so Rav Gamda comes along and says, what? Mishum de Rav Zvid gavra Ravahu afchitu le ledina elave. Why? Because Rav Zvid is a great rabbi, right? So therefore you reverse the law and say what? That she gets to keep the nechseh son barzel, which means really it's not so. Amar afkanam mivaya ba'il l'raba. Which means like this, according to what you're saying that she gets to keep it. It's not so. She only gets to keep it in this case because she was holding on to it. But if, let's say, the husband had it, so then she wouldn't be able to hold on to them because she's not the mahzik. Which means, because lo pashit. So how can you conclusively say she gets it? She doesn't always get it, which means it depends who has it. Why? Just because that Zvid said that she gets it, so therefore you're switching over the whole halakha to come along and say that she always gets it. It's not so, she doesn't always get it. It's a baya, and therefore...
Just because Rav Zvid said he won't yell at you, he's a great man.
No, just because Rav Zvid said that you keep the... she keeps it. So therefore, you're going to switch the halakha that we know already it's a safek? Look at Rashi. Mishum de Razvit gavra rabahu ve'lo ye'ar'er al devarenu mahmat advetenuto, which means, correct, which means Rav Zvid was a humble man. Gavra rabah is humble, right? So you figured that you'd be able to say to that what? Let the lady keep her coat.
Fine.
And you said, don't worry, Azvid is not gonna he's not gonna scream at us because he's anav. You're gonna switch the law against the husband, which means again that Zavid obviously agreed also that really the lady supposed to Rav Zavid held himself as the husband's. Let's go slow. The rabbis all sitting together, right?
Right.
Case came to the rabbis, so they want to know who keeps the coat.
Right.
So the rabbis came along and said, "Lo hifsida, the lady keeps the coat." So Rav Gamda came along and said, "What do you mean? That's not the law. The law is not the lady keeps the coat. The law is the husband's the mahzik. The husband keeps the coat over here. Now wait, the husband keeps the coat. Why does he keep the coat? Because Rav had a question on this. And since he didn't answer the question, so the really law is whoever's the mahzik keeps the coat. Now you're coming along and saying, oh, the lady keeps the coat. Well, it's not so. It depends. Oh, so why are you saying so sure that the lady keeps the coat? Because you know that it's only Rav Zvid that's going against you. And you know that Zvid is a humble man, so you figured he's not going to
push it
down. He's not going to challenge. Yeah, he's not going to challenge you. Therefore, you want to take advantage? That's not the law. Right? So comes the Gemara and says, okay, hashta delo etman lo achi velo achi. So what do you do now? What's the law? So Gemara gives the answer. Tafsa lo mafkinan mina. Lo tafsa lo yabinana. Right? So it depends. But she's tafsa. If she's holding it, she's holding the coat. She's moredit. Lo mafkinan mina. However, lo tafsa, meaning still by the husband, these stuff of it. Right? Lo yabinana. We don't give it. Now the Gemara says an interesting line that's subject to great controversy. Gemara then says, "Umashinan la tresar yarhe shata agita." Period. Before you give her the get, you gotta wait 12 months. Now, what are we talking about over here? Who's gotta wait 12 months? What scenario is there? A 12 month period? So the mefarshim over here, they come along and analyze. So let's go. Let's go one step at a time. What type of lady are we talking about that's 12 months? So he says, from Rashi it seems that we're going back on the case that we're talking about till now, where the lady says, Ma'us alai. The guy, you know, the husband's disgusting to me, and they're 12 months. Only problem is,
immediate divorce.
That when she says Ma'us alai, you don't wait any time, it's immediate seven, divorce, right? You don't got to go to 7 dinarim a week. That's how we're learning till now, right? Ma'us alai, and I don't want a ketubah.
She's out,
no ketubah. Well, now you tell me what? In that same case over there, you have to wait 12 months? So that's...
question one.
That is a question. So they asked this question. Don't have a more statement on some Gimel Amud Bet that a moredet is in kofinota, which means miyad. So they explain it like this. One way is like this. The Rosh in Siman Lamed Daled gives the answer to this question. The 12-month law, is a later takana by the later rabbis, which means the earlier rabbis' takana was miyad, give a get, and it's over. But what was happening, later on they saw that the ladies were coming a little arrogant, and what was happening is they were saying ma'us alai
and the kish.
And what was happening, they were getting divorced, not getting the ketubah, and then they were regretting. And they were coming back and saying, oh, listen, we want to get back together. So the later rabbis came along and said, you know what, we're changing the law, 12 months. Just in case she wants to calm down and change her mind and all that. Which means, no, in the case of ma'us. The first law was miyad. Get miyad. There wasn't any reconciliation in that case. Everybody agreed ma'us. Not everybody agreed. It was machloket. But
the Mishnah, then we had those rabbis.
No, going back to Samech Gimal Amud Bet. And we saw the case of Hechidami Moredet, right? And then the Gemara said, Abal Amra Ma'is Alai. But if she says Ma'is Alai, Lo Chayfina Na, we don't force her. It's to me the Mishnah doesn't apply. So now the Gemara says 12 months. All right, what do you mean 12 months? I thought you said immediate. So the Rosh answers, it was two different periods of history. The earlier time when we said it's immediate, that was the one period of time. But the later rabbis came along and said,
12, go to 4.
No, they went to 12 months because they're coming along and saying what? Hey, you should try to reconcile. Why? Because it was happening. They were saying it quickly. And then they were getting divorced. And after they were getting divorced, they're coming along and saying, well, you know, we want, okay? The last part of the statement says that ubahanach tresar yerchesha during those 12 months let la mizone mibal. She does not get mizonot. That's a knas. Hey, she's a moredet. Bottom line, yeah, she's still a moredet over here. So therefore, she, even though she's saying tanam maus, either saying tanam maus, he does not have to give her. But she'll just keep her maasi yadayim. That's the point. She's not going to stop. She'll keep her maasi yadayim. Normally, we say you have to switch. The maasi yadayim goes to the husband, and he gives him his own oath. But during this period of the 12 months over there, he keeps the she keeps him his maasi yadayim, and he keeps him his own oath. Baruch Adonai le'olam.
Amen. Amen.